It was, of course, very difficult to reach the palaces of the kings of the Yadu dynasty, but Brahmanas were allowed to visit. When the Brahmana friend of Lord Krishna went there, he, along with other Brahmanas, had to pass through 3 military encampments. In each camp, there were very big gates, and he also had to pass through them. After the gates and the camps, there were 16,000 big palaces. The residential quarters of the 16,000 queens of Lord Krishna. The Brahmana entered one palace which was very gorgeously decorated. When he entered this beautiful palace, he felt that he was swimming in the ocean of transcendental pleasure. He felt himself constantly diving and surfacing in that transcendental ocean. At that time, Lord Krishna was sitting on the bedstead of Queen Rukmini. Even from a considerable distance, he could see the Brahmana coming to his home, and he could recognize him as his friend. Lord Krishna immediately left his seat and came forward to receive his Brahmana friend, and upon reaching him, embraced the Brahmana with his 2 arms. Lord Krishna is the reservoir of all transcendental pleasure, yet he himself felt great pleasure upon embracing the poor Brahmana, because he was meeting his very dear friend. Lord Krishna had him seated on his own bedstead and personally brought all kinds of fruits and drinks to offer him, as is proper in receiving a worshipable guest. Lord Sri Krishna is the supreme pure, but because he was playing the role of an ordinary human being, he immediately washed the Brahmana's feet and for his own purification sprinkled the water onto his head. After this, the Lord smeared the body of the Brahmana with different kinds of scented pulp, such as a sandalwood, a guru, and saffron. He immediately burned several kinds of scented incense and, as is usual, offered him arati with burning lamps. After thus offering him an adequate welcome, and after the Brahmana had taken food and drink, Lord Krishna said, "My dear friend, it is a great fortune that you have come here." The Brahmana, being very poor, was not dressed nicely. His clothing was torn and dirty, and his body was very lean and thin. He appeared not very clean, and because of his weak body, his bones were distinctly visible. The goddess of fortune, Rukmini Devi, personally began to fan him with the chamara fan. But the other women in the palace were astonished at Lord Krishna's behavior in receiving the Brahmana in that way. They were surprised to see how eager Lord Krishna was to welcome this particular Brahmana. They wondered how Lord Krishna could personally receive a Brahmana who was poor, not very neat or clean, and poorly dressed. But at the same time, they could realize that the Brahmana was not an ordinary living being. They knew that he must have performed great pious activities. Otherwise, why was Lord Krishna, the husband of the goddess of fortune, taking care of him so much? They were still more surprised to see that the Brahmana was seated on the bedstead of Lord Krishna. They were especially surprised to see that Lord Krishna had embraced him exactly as he had embraced his elder brother Balaramaji, because Lord Krishna used to embrace only Rukmini or Balarama and no one else. After the Brahmana had been received nicely and seated on Lord Krishna's own cushioned bed, he and Krishna took each other's hands and began to talk about their early life, when they had both lived under the protection of the Gurukula, or boarding school. Lord Krishna said, "My dear Brahmana friend, you are a most intelligent personality, and you know very well the principles of religious life. I believe that after you finished your education at the house of our teacher, and after you sufficiently remunerated him, you must have gone back to your home and accepted a suitable wife. I know very well that from the beginning you were not at all attached to the materialistic way of life, nor did you desire to be very opulent materially, and therefore you are in need of money. In this material world, persons who are not attached to material opulence are very rarely found. Such unattached persons haven't the least desire to accumulate wealth and prosperity for sense gratification. But sometimes they are found to collect money just to exhibit the exemplary life of a householder. They show how by proper distribution of wealth, one can become an ideal householder and at the same time a great devotee. Such ideal householders are to be considered followers of my footsteps. I hope, my dear Brahmana friend, that you remember all those days of our school life when you and I were living together at the boarding school. Actually, whatever knowledge you and I received in life was accumulated in our student life. If a man is sufficiently educated in student life under the guidance of a proper teacher, his life becomes successful in the future. He can very easily cross over the ocean of nations, and he is not subject to the influence of the illusory energy. My dear friend, everyone should consider his father to be his first teacher, because by the mercy of one's father, one gets this body. The father is therefore the natural spiritual master. Our next spiritual master is he who initiates us into transcendental knowledge, and he is to be worshipped as much as I am. The spiritual master may be more than one. The spiritual master who instructs the disciple about spiritual matters is called the Shiksha Guru, and the spiritual master who initiates disciple is called Diksha Guru. Both of them are my representatives. There may be many spiritual masters who instruct, but the initiator spiritual master is one. A human being who takes advantage of these spiritual masters and receiving proper knowledge from them crosses the ocean of material existence is to be understood as having properly utilized the human form of life. He has practical knowledge that the ultimate interest of life, which is to be gained only in this human form, is to achieve spiritual perfection and thus be transferred back home, back to Godhead. My dear friend, I am Paramatma, the Supersoul present in everyone's heart. And it is my direct order that human society follow the principles of Varna and Ashrama. As I have stated in the Bhagavad Gita, human society should be divided into four Varnas according to quality and action. Similarly, everyone should divide one's life into four parts. One should utilize the first part of life in becoming a bona fide student, receiving adequate knowledge, and keeping oneself in the vow of brahmacharya, so that one may completely devote his life for the service of the spiritual master without indulging in sense gratification. A brahmachari is meant to lead a life of austerities and penance. The householder is meant to live a regulated life of sense gratification. But no one should remain a householder for the third stage of life. In that stage, one has to return to the austerities and penances formerly practiced in brahmachari life, and thus relieve himself of the attachment to household life. After being relieved of his attachments to the materialistic way of life, one may accept the order of sannyasa. As the Supersoul of the living entities, I sit in everyone's heart and I observe everyone's activity in every stage and order of life. Regardless of which stage one is in, when I see that one is engaged seriously and sincerely in discharging the duties ordered by the spiritual master, and is thus dedicating his life to the service of the spiritual master, that person becomes most dear to me. As the Supersoul of the living entities, I sit in everyone's heart, and I observe everyone's activity in every stage and order of life. Regardless of which stage one is in, when I see that one is engaged seriously and sincerely in discharging the duties ordered by the spiritual master, and is thus dedicating his life to the service of the spiritual master, that person becomes most dear to me. As far as the life of Brahmacharya is concerned, if one can continue the life of a Brahmachari under the direction of a spiritual master, that is extremely good. But if in Brahmachari life one feels sex impulses, then he should take leave of his spiritual master, satisfying him according to the Guru's desire. According to the Vedic system, as gift is offered to the spiritual master, which is called Guru Dakshina, then the disciple should take to householder life and accept a wife according to religious rites. These instructions given by Lord Krishna while talking with his friend, the learned Brahmana, are very good for the guidance of human society. A system of human civilization that does not promote varna and ashrama is nothing but a polished animal society. Indulgence in sex life by a man or woman living single is never acceptable in human society. A man should strictly follow the principles of Brahmachari life, or, with the permission of the spiritual master, should get married. Single life with illicit sex is animal life, for the animals have no institution as marriage. Modern society does not aim at fulfilling the mission of human life, which is to go back home, back to Godhead. To fulfill this mission, the system of varna and ashram must be followed. When the system is followed rigidly and consciously, it fulfills this mission. But when followed indirectly, without the guidance of superior authority, it simply creates a disturbing condition in human society, and there is no peace and prosperity.
Or impersonal.
His form is spiritual, not material, and His beauty is the most attractive. Govinda, Govinda, I belong to Govinda. He is eternal, full of bliss and knowledge. He is the reservoir of all our pleasures. Govinda, Govinda, black and beautiful. The goal of meditation, and when you chant His name, He reveals Himself. He's far beyond the range of sense perception. Govinda, Govinda, no one's greater than Govinda. Swam Adi Deva Purusha Puranas Swamasya Visvasya Param Nidhanam. Govinda, Govinda, black and beautiful. With no effort He controls the cosmos. He is the source of the whole creation. Govinda, Govinda,